Hey. This is what I needed, OC.
Okay.
What? Describe this uprise for me, because this is a little different. I haven't heard this.
Yeah, I want you to listen to the people in the background.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are Brazilian brothers, man.
I like that, too. I see you change the beat up on me.
Oh, yeah. A little something.
Mm.
That's the uprise, man. Brand new year. Big things.
You know what? I instantly feel energy. I feel like I'm in front of my locker and I wasn't ready for the game.
Do you feel uprisen?
But this gives me what I need, and I'm uprisen, and I'm ready to play, and everything I was worried about don't matter. It's game time.
Game time.
It's podcast time.
Let's do it.
And the uprise is our signature.
Hey, listen, first of all, excuse my voice. As you can hear, I have like a little cold, so my voice isn't quite as, you know, strong as it usually is.
Authoritative.
I like that. It's not quite there, but, you know, you're going to feel me anyway.
Listen, man, I think you're like, you know, any leader of a free country.
All right.
We always want to say free country.
All right, all
and,
right.
And what you say is heard.
Ooh.
I think you don't even have to worry about it, my brother.
You know what's so funny, J-Bell? You know what's so funny?
Tell me.
Is that we haven't talked about anything we're going to discuss on this podcast, but then, like, we are so in sync, we are so in tune with each other,
mm-hmm.
that you kind of know where I'm going with this. But we're going to get to that later. We'll get to that middle of the podcast. We're going to get to that. That just really blew my mind, the fact that you said something about being the leader of a free country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to surprise you with that midway through the podcast, but, you know, you're already there, so we'll get to that later, man. Let's get to the easy stuff first. Let's get to the light stuff first.
Well,
J-Bell.
Yeah, I would like to stick to that. I'm not ready. I'm not ready right now. It's the New Year's, man. Give me a week to warm up. Anyways, I'm always ready.
Listen, Jason. This is the deal. This is the deal, right? Our listeners have come to expect this from us.
I know.
They ask for it.
I know.
They tell us.
This is true.
We love this, Jason. This is what separates us. This is what separates you guys from everybody else. Because you get a little bit of everything here.
Much
agreed.
So you
got to give it to them.
Listen, I am with you, bro. I'm
you got
to
give the people what they want.
I'm in the boat, bro. I'm in the boat. Can I ask you a couple questions?
What you got for me, Jay?
How was Christmas and New Year's?
It was outstanding. I had such a good time. Jason, I ate so much food. You know, like, I work out specifically so I can eat.
Yep.
But I went ham, bro. Like, I went ham. I was eating nonstop for hours. Jason, I love food, man. I love to eat so much, man. Why can't they make it whereas maybe, like, cookies and cakes and pizza? Why can't they make it whereas that's good for you, and salad, and salads are bad for you.
Just
like, can you imagine
that is? I can imagine that.
Sheesh.
People would find a way to overdo salads. It's human nature. We would find a way to be like, you know what? You're eating too much salad. It's just what happens.
How was yours, man?
It was great, man, to watch. You know, obviously, I got a little person in my life,
yeah.
4 going on 5 years old, and she just loved it, man.
Yeah.
It was just watching her, the joy was amazing, and that made it fun. That made it so exciting.
Still so innocent, right?
Still so innocent, still so appreciative of just anything. Just watching that happen, just that I get why parents get swept up in it.
Yeah.
I get it. So that was good. Hollered at you, of course, and you said the same thing you said to our wonderful listeners. You said, J-Bell, man, I ate so much.
I did,
that
man.
Was your first line.
That was it.
When I called you.
That's the only thing. Like, for me, that's what holidays are. That's the only thing I really get excited about.
Right.
About holidays. Because, you know, after you do all this reading about, you know, all these different things, you say to yourself, oh, this is just an opportunity for people to consume. The market wants you to consume. Go buy.
That's in every aspect of our life.
Yeah, so
you're right.
I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that, but what I am going to do.
I'm going to consume this food.
I'm going to consume this food. I'm going to appreciate the fact that my family is together and exactly. we're just going to eat.
That's what it's all about, right? Yeah. Forcing people to get together. They end up loving every second of it, whoever you spend those holidays with.
Mm-hmm.
Football-wise,
yeah,
nice wild card week. Great matchups.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, though.
What you got for
me? Before I even get into this, you know, we talk about a lot of things, you and I.
Yeah.
I just remember talking to you yesterday about playoffs.
Goodness. Oh, okay. That conversation. I thought you were talking about the other conversation.
I
was like, you're trying to go dark on me now, J-Mel.
No, I am not going. Okay. Because I was losing that conversation. I won't get back into a fight I was losing. I was on the ropes. Okay? No.
Okay.
We were talking about the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I saw you were like a savant.
Okay.
Okay, going through playoff scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen. That can happen. If you play in this round and that, and you're away and you're home. And I'm looking at you and I'm like, oh, a word I'm not going to say
right.
on the podcast.
Right.
I forgot how much this man knows
yeah.
about playoff and all the way through to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it made me think, like, the insight that you have, I want to focus on. Not everybody always talks to you about the Super Bowl,
yeah.
right? Oh, OC, two Super Bowls, you know, did this, did that. Like, what changes? I mean, it's a very open-ended question.
Mm.
But, like, bring our listeners inside, like, season's over.
Yeah.
Mentality of locker room or how coaches talk to you or how you prepare, how your body feels, mm-hmm. like, how the leaders of the team act. I don't know. But just that kind of knowledge, I think – nobody hears that. Like, when I heard it, and I know football, I was yeah. like, I was locked in, bro.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Once you've been in that situation, like, so much, talking about, like, playoffs,
yes.
And you've seen it over and over again, you start to realize that in football, even though there's all these new innovations, there's really nothing new under the sun. It's all going to come down to the same things over and over and over
yes.
again. You remember the game we were playing? I think it was Denver versus Carolina.
Yes.
In the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Everybody was like,
man.
Oh, Carolina's going to do this.
I hate you.
Carolina's going to do this.
I hate you.
Carolina's going to do
I hate
this.
You.
All I did was I looked at the game
yep.
that Denver played against New England
yes.
before.
Yep.
And I watched that defensive line rush. And then I looked at the game that Carolina played before.
Yep.
And I looked at their offensive line. And I said to myself, okay. Carolina has all these things going on. But who's going to block this defensive line for the Denver
you
Broncos?
Did. I heard you say it.
Who's going to block them? I couldn't see a way in which the Carolina Panthers were going to be able to block the Denver Broncos. And I knew that they couldn't win the game if they can't do that. So everything, once it comes to playoff football,
yes.
becomes all about matchups.
Right.
How does this team match up in this area? How does this team match up in this area? This team has to go here. This team has to play in this weather. This team has to do all these different things. And once you put all that together,
yes.
once you've seen it so many times, you can start making more educated guesses. Because you never really can't tell for sure what's
no,
going to happen.
For sure.
But you can make more educated guesses as to what the outcome is going to be. During the regular season, it's a toss-up.
Yes.
It's really difficult to do during
yep.
the regular season.
Yep.
But the playoffs come, you can be like, oh, Philadelphia is playing against Chicago. Okay. Philadelphia O-line is good.
Yeah.
They got Jason Peters. They got Lane Johnson. They got some good tackles. They're going
yep.
up against Chicago. Now, Chicago's going to have to get pressure
yep.
on Nick Foles to win this game. But I think these offensive linemen are going to be able to hold up. If they can do that, now they're going to expose the Chicago Bears defense. Now, Chicago's going to try to run the ball. But the Philadelphia Eagles play good run defense. So they're going to have to pass. It's all becomes like...
Can I add something in on this?
Go ahead.
Because this is, you sparked something in my mind.
Yes.
I got in the lab last night.
Okay.
Okay. I did some research.
Uh-huh.
Because you were making so much sense. And you talked about the tackles
yes.
from the Eagles.
Yes.
So I did some digging.
Yes.
Listened to some things that I can't give you the info right now because then you'll dominate the conversation.
Okay.
But I'm looking at this Lane Johnson.
Yes.
He's very up and down, but he has shut down the best.
He has, huh?
He might have an off game, but he has taken out some of the best rushing ends.
And shut them down.
Exactly what you said. And I'm like, so if he has a bad game, it's going to be bad for the Eagles. So to your credit, that's why I'm asking this question, and you've answered it. Now that I look at that game, Chicago, I look at Philly, and I look at all these even things, I'm looking for specific style weaknesses. Yeah. And I want to see weakness. Obviously, you see strength on strength.
Yeah.
But I want to see weakness on weakness, too.
Yes.
And when you talk about that, if, say, these tackles have the game of their life for Philly,
mm-hmm.
and you stop the four-man rush of the Chicago Bears, you have a they play zone. That's what Chicago's good at. You know, that's what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I always ask you what's happening in the front, and you give me the intel. Now they have to change what they're doing to bring extra pressure and put those guys in man-to-man or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How does the scale tilt?
Changes.
It changes because of matchups. And if this guy, who these tackles who are very capable of putting together an all-pro performance, do it.
It's tough.
It's
and
tough.
Then, what is the weakness of the Eagles?
I say lack of running game.
Okay.
And
defensively, what would you say their weakness is?
The defensive backfield.
Good. Now, does Chicago have great wide receivers? Do they have great wide receivers that are just going to expose the Philadelphia Eagles DBs?
Right. Trey Burton's great. And they have been a little off. They're good, but they have been a little off. They haven't been dominant. Okay. True.
That's true. Going to be – I don't think they're going to win the game just taking shots
Trubisky's
down the field.
Trubisky's not going to beat you with his arm consistently. Right now it's very simplistic how they're doing things. They're getting rid of the ball quickly. It's what you said before about – taking a head coach out of the game, you got to take Matt Nagy's genius play call out.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, man.
It's going to be tough.
But you're right. I mean, if you want to watch something people aren't talking about, OC just said it. Hey, you want to sound smart? Watch these tackles from the Eagles. Yeah. And if you're just watching and you're like, they are blocking up Khalil Mack.
It's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long afternoon.
Day. We got your boys, Baltimore, against the Chargers.
Man, that's another one, man.
That's a tough game.
That's a tough game. I think that I don't, you know, defense is always effective in the postseason. And I think it's always consistent. Would you say yes? Like, your offense is up and down. Defense is pretty consistent.
Usually. In the postseason, definitely.
Okay.
They play well throughout.
Always the advantage at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Chargers, the thing about their advantage is Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
That's their pure advantage is Phillip Rivers. And his ability to get rid of the ball quickly, right?
Yes.
And get the ball to his playmakers.
Yes.
And decision making.
Yes.
What kills decision making? Confusion, right? Who is better at confusing you defensively than the Baltimore Ravens?
Nobody.
And because they have the best, they have three of the best corners that can cover anybody, then you can put them in man coverage. We saw that on film. We talked about that on the show. I mean, these dudes are in zero coverage at the end of the game against Baker Mayfield. Like, throw on us.
Bro, this
big cojones, like you said.
This, and I'm not saying I know for certain what's going to happen.
Got it.
This is a very bad matchup for the Chargers.
Very bad.
Very, very bad matchup for the Chargers. Now, the Chargers defensively, strength of their team, they got some good DBs, right?
They do have good DBs.
And they have some outstanding pass rushers.
Yes, they do.
Right?
And Joey Bosa's now healthy, fresh legs. Scary.
But Baltimore ain't passing the ball.
No.
Baltimore is playing smash mouth football.
Yep.
Negates what the Chargers are good at defensively. And offensively, their defense negates what the Chargers do. It is a terrible, terrible matchup for the Los Angeles Chargers.
You know what else somebody's not talking? I've been on this because of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
The interior defensive line of Baltimore is dominant.
Yeah.
So they're going to shut down the run.
Yeah.
So that they're not going to be able to run.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to pass. Okay, what's the X factor? Special teams.
Yeah.
Chargers have been notoriously bad at special teams. And Baltimore Ravens have been always good. Their head coach is a special teams coach.
It's Crazy.
Crazy. But you got to start digging into those nuggets. And you're like, once again, it's still tough to call, but these are the kind of things we think and talk about that confuse the mess out of us.
Speaking of quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson, you know, obviously being a black quarterback.
Got it.
I want to talk about something that we talked about yesterday, Jason.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you don't.
So you can just talk.
Okay, give me
I don't want to talk.
What do you think the answer to this is, just from your perspective, right? Because somebody asked me this on Twitter.
Okay.
They asked me on Twitter. They were like, why do you think that there's so few black quarterbacks in the league?
Okay.
What do you think?
I think there are so few black quarterbacks in the league because I think the middle of the road guys have a harder time getting opportunities.
Meaning, the middle of the road guys.
Yeah, not your stars. I mean, it's hard to deny that. And nobody nobody with any kind of sense is going to deny super talent. You're just not going to. But I think the same can be said about white receivers.
Mm.
The middle of the road guys have a tough time
because
of misconceptions, maybe.
Misconceptions?
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I think. I think your elite guys don't really have to worry about it. You get the opportunity like everybody else. But I think the Dak Prescotts in the world will always get a lot of unnecessary criticism.
Hmm.
I mean, when you think about the criticism Dak Prescott's had, I think I'd like to fact check this. He has a higher winning percentage than Tony Romo.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Dak Prescott a better quarterback than Tony Romo?
I didn't say that. I just said how they're just saying middle of the road guys catch a lot of heat. That's what
you asked
me.
But is he a better quarterback than Tony Romo?
Not now.
Okay. So the fact that he has a higher winning percentage than Tony Romo, what does that have to do with anything?
Winning matters in the NFL.
But he's not a better quarterback than Tony Romo.
I don't think so, but that's just my opinion. And I mean, Tony Romo's got more film, man, and I always believe that the more film you got out there, the easier it is to evaluate you.
I never played against Dak Prescott. I did play against Tony Romo, and I can categorically tell you that Tony Romo was hands down one of the best football players I ever played against.
He did some amazing things, didn't he?
Hands down, one of the best football players
he was,
I ever played
against.
He did
some amazing things.
He was a guy that I was very concerned about when I stepped on that football field.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, he was man. He's the man.
Here's what I think, Jason. I think that there are so few black quarterbacks in the NFL because of two things. One is what you just said, and I think that's a small part of it. I think the other part of it is a lack of black fathers.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think that's what
that to me
is causing that.
I understand your opinion, and you have made some valid points to me on that, but I can't get on that.
Can I lay out my arguments?
You can have your
arguments. Are you gonna give me some time to lay out why I think so, or are we just gonna do this back and forth? That's all I want to know.
Now, everybody listening, this is how we talk. We go back and forth, and I usually cut off OC 20 to 25 times till I realize I'm not going to talk about it. You got the floor.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think in football, and I didn't appreciate the quarterback position until I got to the NFL, and I saw the complex things that we were doing, and I see the complex things that they do offensively, and I realize that...
Be careful.
And I realize that they had to not only know what we were doing, they had to know what they were doing, and it's the most difficult position to play in sports.
Agreed. Now, agreed.
Here's what I think is going on. You have these quarterbacks, very athletic quarterbacks, coming out high school. And in high school, if you have a black quarterback who's a running guy, who's an athlete, you're going to win a majority of your games, period. Even in college, you get to that point, you're going to win a huge percentage of your games. You get to the NFL, you can start off like that, but you just can't win like that. So here's what happens in high school. You have these guys, you have these high school coaches, and instead of sitting there teaching these kids the intricacies of the quarterback play that they're going to need, not in high school, not really in college, but in the NFL, instead of teaching it to them, because they're winning games, they just let them skate through just based upon athleticism. And then they get to college and they try to make them change positions and all that nonsense. Now,
that's halfway true, but that has changed now with the 7-on-7 tournaments. And anyone who runs those will always tell you that the quarterback position and any position, you see the way these running backs are becoming receivers and all that has changed because now they are practicing these things more often than before, than when we were in high school.
Every single quarterback that I've seen, I'll say 95% of them that are very successful in the NFL today, whether they're white, black, whatever, 95% of them had a very strong father presence or male presence in their life. This is, just go do the research, you see it. Now, every single one of them did that. You know why? Because the quarterback position is so hands-on. Somebody has to be there teaching you this from an early age. It's the only position in the NFL that you have to have learned that position to be successful from an early age. You have all these athletes, whether it's Tannehill, whether it's this guy.
Sam Darter was a linebacker in high school.
Okay, well,
he's not a quarterback.
The jury is still out on Sam Darnold. The jury is still out on Sam Darnold. You're not going to compare him to one of the all-time great quarterbacks now. And I'm talking about the all-time great quarterbacks.
I don't know.
Now, all of them that I have seen have had a strong, strong male presence in their life, teaching them that position from an early position.
How do you know this all
you got to do is do your research. Now, if you see that.
How do you know their relationship with their father, O.C.?
Because
I don't know your relationship with your father except what you tell me.
All of them have come out and said it. Which one hasn't? Whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Peyton Manning, whether it's whatever quarterback, even Cam Newton, all of them talk about the relationship they have with their father. This is a fact.
Many players say that.
It's a fact.
Many players say that.
No. And I'm telling you, to be a successful quarterback, you have to have that father presence in the house or the male presence in the house from an early age. You have to grow up playing the position.
I agree with 98%. No, I don't even 98%. I probably agree with 75% of the stuff.
Jason, right now you're just arguing just to be arguing. Because what you're saying is not rooted in no fact.
I agree with 98%. No, I don't even 98%. I probably agree with 75% of the stuff.
Jason, right now you're just arguing just to be arguing. Because what you're saying is not rooted in no fact.
O.C.
You got to give me logical arguments. Don't just talk. Don't just be one of those guys, man. Do your research.
You got it.
Put two and two together.
You got it, bro. I'll tell you this. I have done zero research on this. I'm not sure how I feel about this because I don't know. You usually have very logical explanations of things, and there's some logic in this, but I'm kind of flabbergasted. If you might be onto something... It wouldn't surprise me if you are, because you actually have pulled these things out before. But I'm a little, maybe I'm naive.
What I'm saying is this. It's not a fact. It may not even be true. It may not. But all I can do is, from my research, from what I've seen, from the trends, the numbers point directly towards this. If 9 out of 10 quarterbacks had not a father, I'm not even going to say a father, had that strong male influence in the house, teaching them the position from an early age, if 9 out of 10 had that and they're successful, why would I not say that that is an important thing for them to be successful?
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty much all I'm saying. Now, I can't think of, there's only two things realistically you can point to. You can say, A, it's either racism that's keeping black quarterbacks out of the league. You can say it's either that or there's another factor.
I think you're onto something, because if there's one thing I agree with is that there comes an advantage of playing that position when you especially have someone in the house who knows it or can teach you or can continually – educate you on the position, because you're right, it's a lot of things you can do. I remember Todd Marinovich, remember that name?
Yeah.
And his father and how he made him like the super athlete and all that. From, and then he just completely turned left and just revolted from it. But I mean, yeah, it worked, right? You had a product. He was good. He was the golden child. He was all of those things. I have to say this. I said something earlier, and I was saying about kids not listening. And you know, I got sensitive, bro, because I always think about those that don't have the same advantages as others, and I just don't want them to think that they can't achieve and do anything. But what you're saying makes sense as far as there might be something. I mean, when we look at the elites, when I look at the Mannings, I always say, you know how they didn't take hits?
Yes.
You know how them do? They were like the best. And I say, when your dad got sacked as many times as he did, one thing he teaches you?
How to take a hit.
Them boys stayed on the field. They knew how to take care of themselves. If Peyton doesn't have a ridiculous neck injury, he doesn't miss any games. Eli doesn't miss any games. You don't learn that if you don't have that in the house.
When you look at Russell Wilson.
Damn it, I think you're right.
When you look at a Russell Wilson, right? Strong male presence in the house growing up. Even the new generation, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you're right.
You see the way they
see his pops at every game sitting there. He talks about his uncle too, or his godfather, the pitcher.
His father was the pitcher.
But his godfather was a good one player too. Yeah.
These guys, they're not only athletic, but they've been taught. They've had that influence from such an early age. So when they play, you see Russell Wilson scrambling. He's not scrambling to run most of the time. This guy's scrambling and reading defense at the same time.
I know.
These are people who've been taught this from peewee.
Are you saying that their fathers taught them or their fathers had their hand in their teaching?
They had their hand in there. They put them in proper
– with the right coaches.
With the right coaches, okay. With the right everything in order for them –
There's I agree
no
with
other
that.
Position.
I agree
no
with
other
that.
Position. You can play any other position in sport.
I agree with that because you know why I agree with that?
That one.
I agree with that because if you get taught by the wrong person, someone has to unteach that, right? So if you have someone that goes, "Oh, you're not going to teach my son this." The Mannings went to that. They both had the same kind of quarterbacks coach in college.
Yes, Cutcliffe.
And their dad that was kind Cutcliffe. Of
Cutcliffe.
Yeah. There you go.
That was serious.
That was
a crazy conversation.
I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that. No, I'm not ready for most of them.
Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year, guys.
Welcome to the new year.
Uprise. Unbelievable.
Uprise.
Oh my
if y'all
goodness,
knew the
gracious,
real
gracious.
Story behind the story.
Oh, my God.
Me and Osi been in here for 4 hours.
God, Jason Bell, you are something else, man. I promise you, man. And Simon just sitting over here just enjoying it all.
Oh, man.
Simon's going to win all kinds of awards.
Simon is the
man. As the producer of the craziest podcast in the history of sports. I can't think of a podcast like this. I just can't.
It's exciting, and you know what it does? It makes you challenge your thoughts and read up on exactly what you think you don't know. Because I don't know a lot.
Neither do I, man. I just be talking. Hypotheses. Is it hypothesis or hypotheses?
I think you can say both.
Is it hypothesis or hypotheses?
Well, it's a plural because hypothesis is singular. Hypotheses is plural.
It's plural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right, OC. We had a long one today, so we're probably not going to get to a ton of questions, but we always find a way to make it up, right?
Okay.
We always find a way to make it up. I'm going to give you this name so I don't butcher it. You got my back on this?
Let's do it.
All right, here. I'll read the question. You hit the name.
Pedar. Pedar McSherry. Pedar McSherry.
All right.
Peter, I'm going to have a what's that thing? What's that thing you drink with? It's like Sprite and
it's a sherry.
Sherry. No, sherry something.
Isn't it something with that?
Something sherry.
Sprite and
Shirley Temple. That's what it's called. Sprite with grenadine. It's Shirley Temple. I'm going to have a Shirley Temple today.
That's good.
Cuz I'm going to a restaurant.
That can't be your drink though.
No.
I'm trying it for your New Year's. Anyways, I hear you guys talk a lot about contracts in the NFL. Can you explain how this works in football? So this is really tough. There's a lot of angles to this, but I think you probably can narrow this down and make it make sense.
Okay.
Because you have experienced this at a lot more than I have.
Yeah. I went into numerous battles over these contracts.
Your contract battles can be their own podcast.
Yeah, they're crazy. I think contracts in the NFL are they're unique in the sense that they are only guaranteed basically by one party.
Right.
So the team signs you to a contract. Say they sign you to a 3-year, $10 million contract.
I'll take that.
You get a portion of the money guaranteed. Maybe they guarantee you $3 million. Mm-hmm. And the rest of that money isn't guaranteed. So they can cut you at any point. They can release you, and they don't owe you any money. So this is where you see a lot of the contract disputes and all these squabbles going about, because a team signs a player to a contract, but they're not liable for that entire contract. They're only liable for some of it. So when a player feels like he's outplayed that contract, he wants more money, and the team is like, nah, we can't give you no money. So it's a really strange dynamic in where it's the NFL, where the teams hold all the power over the players because they don't guarantee the entire contract. Now, what you're starting to see is quarterbacks and, you know, other positions, they're starting to drive that guarantee up because they are so good, and they're trying to demand more and more guaranteed money. And it's essentially protecting themselves from being released. But that's it. That's a contract for you in a nutshell.
That is. One question on that, OC, mm-hmm. is when you do get a big bonus like that,
yeah.
and say you get all your money in your first 2 years and it's a 5-year deal,
yeah.
they usually have invested so much in you that you kind of can get that next year.
Definitely going to get
right,
at least the third year.
Yes, because they feel like we've paid for this, so yeah. we can't cut him yeah. after we've paid him this premium.
Can't happen.
So it usually lasts, about 70% of your contract you usually play on that team?
You usually play at least 60, 70%.
Yeah, because they don't want to just give that money away, and then you run off into the sunset.
Yeah.
All right, one last question, because we took up a lot of time with me getting dominated by the conversation.
Nah.
I was losing. Losing on my knees. You're the name reader. Who's this one from?
Tim Maher. That's you know who Bill Maher is?
Yeah.
I love Bill Maher.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I met him somewhere that I won't talk about on air, but great dude.
I like to watch his stuff, man.
Yeah, he's challenging. All right. What was the tune at the end of the last podcast? Hashtag, you know what the hashtag is.
Got to be Uprise.
Uprise.
That's what it is. That was my own thing, Grace Rhodes. It's not out yet, so... You're not going to Shazam or Spotify it, but it's coming soon. Coming soon.
Listen,
coming
the soon. Uprise movement is a game changer.
It's real.
Everybody's feeling it. Everything that it means and it stands for, it's uplifting. It's exactly what we need in this climate and environment. Thank you for blessing us. We'll holler at y'all next week. We out.
Hola, mamacita, come with me for thunder. This your buddy, woman wonder, striking lightning thunder. Why you looking like it's August, it ain't even summer. What's it on your bumper, tell me, what's your name and number?
I get numbers when I'm on the street, but I do not talk too much. Jump a gang on the street from the way, but I do not talk too much. When the sun's out, she looks swaggy. And I'm blacked out with no belly.